The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning. Here we are in the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors and whatever else happens to come up, whether that's a raccoon for Thanksgiving dinner stuffed with oyster stuffing and laying on his back in a bed of kale, which sounds absolutely lovely to me, but, you know, others may not find that so attractive. So the suggestion is we have separate tables for the family and then for the hunters in the group. And the second table then would be basically outside on the porch, which is okay, which is okay. So, you know, we can graze back and forth between the turkey and the raccoon, the rabbit, the goose, the beaver, the muskrat, and all the above. So, hey, there's another question. Does anybody really have a good muskrat recipe out there? I mean, any wild game, if you prepare it properly, is extremely tasty. Extremely. Muskrat seems to be the critter du jour, especially on the lower eastern shore, Dorchester County and south. And I'm wondering if any of our listeners have a good muskrat recipe. I mean, it's available in some of the markets down there. You know, the trappers make a few bucks on the hides and a few bucks on the carcass. And I think it's the only, commercial wildlife we have here in Maryland. But I mean, it's such a minor deal. So the muskrat skinning competition was a couple of weeks ago in Dorchester County. The raccoon skinning competition was there, and we just at the National Outdoor Show, we just want to know if anybody has a good muskrat recipe. Let's talk to Fran in Baltimore. Good morning, Fran. How are you?
Well, good morning. I don't have a muskrat recipe.
Why? Come on, girl.
I do have one little quick recipe.
What's that?
Oxtails and sauerkraut.
Mmm.
Let me tell you, it is delicious. Anyway, first I want to say, because I'm going to be quick, I want to run into the break.
Okay.
But first thing, you mentioned Bill Miles was ill.
Yes, he was.
Okay.
We were with him on Tuesday, and he looked bad, but we testified on a canvasback bill.
Yeah.
Wednesday. He had plans to be on hand for the two hearings. We had written testimony, but Bill was just too sick to go to Annapolis on Wednesday. So.
Well, of course, I want him to know we keep him in our prayers.
Perfect.
We do need him.
We need Bill. You're right about that.
We need him bad. Now, listen, let me tell you, if he's listening, one of the songs that I worked on is about you.
Yeah.
Okay. But in that song, I want him to know that one of the verses I say, representation was what the hunters needed.
Yeah.
And he found an advocate, and together they succeeded.
Aha!
So that's in one of my songs. So I just want him to know, I didn't recall him by name, but I did mention him, and we do need him very badly, and I wish him speedy, speedy recovery.
Indeed, so do I.
All right, now the next thing was, I had an uncle I forgot all about. He loved to go hunting.
Yeah.
He shot everything that moved. As a kid, we were scared to even look in the freezer. I mean, he had raccoons, snakes, possum. We were afraid a person might be in there. I mean, he had everything that moved. We didn't know it was a deer season and a turkey. We didn't know that. Anything moved he saw, he shot it. So maybe I'd take a little bit after him. And the
possible.
Other thing was, last week when I called and I was talking about that magazine that I got such a thrill out of getting after all these years.
Yeah.
Field and Stream.
Yeah.
Brain
okay.
Food.
Oh, yeah.
That
good
magazine
stuff.
Is brain food.
That's
I
good
mean,
stuff. Yep.
Oh, wow. They've got some articles in there. And the last thing, this one of my drivers that drive on the transportation, he listens to your show.
Oh, wow.
And we discovered it just talking, you know, as he was driving me and other people around. And he says, yeah, I listen to Alan's show, and he likes to hunt when he gets a chance and all.
Good.
So send a shout-out to Ray.
Hey, Ray.
Invite him to the banquet March 25th.
Right.
Come on, bring your wife. You'll have a good time. You know you work too hard.
That's right.
But if you can get free, we'd love to have you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. Sounds good. Hey, friend, thank you very much. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. If we don't hear from you soon. Okay.
Hope so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There she goes. Okay, cool. Well, striped bass season for Trophy Rock opens April 15th. The size limit this year is 35 inches. 2017 spring season for the state fish, striped bass. Hopefully we'll be able to add state waterfowl, canvas back duck, eventually. Kicks off on April 15th in Maryland's portion of the Chesapeake Bay and its tidal tributaries. The recreational fishing opportunities for rockfish will run from 5 a.m. April 15th through midnight May 15th with a catch limit of one fish per person per day, 35 inches or larger. Regulations for the combined summer and fall season runs May 16th through the 20th. Will remain the same as last year. Anglers can keep two fish per day greater than 20 inches with one required to be less than 28 inches. In other words, you can catch two fish over 20, but only one can be 28 inches or larger. Size is measured from the tip of the snout to the tip of the tail. Striped bass fishing in the Atlantic Ocean, Maryland's coastal bays and tributaries is open year-round with a two fish daily limit. Striped bass on the coast must be between 28 and 38 inches. And then there's a slot, which means anything over 38, got to go back. But if you hit one over 44, you can keep it. So be 28 and 38 and or larger than 44. Maryland seasons in reservoirs like Maryland reservoirs such as Liberty, Piney Run, Triadelphia, Conowingo, Broadford Lake, Jennings, Randolph, and Rocky Gorge are also open to fishing year-round with an 18-inch minimum size. Two fish per day possession limit with only one of the two fish being longer than 30 inches. So there you go. That's the rockfish update. Ah, mercy. Let's see. Captain Don sent an email. Anybody wants to send an email, you're welcome to do so. And I'll send you the flyer for the benefit. I'll send you anything you want on email. Anything you hear about here, any of the Department of Natural Resources news releases, I'll send them to you, whatever you want. Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Any questions you might have, we'll try and answer them too. He sent me, Captain Don from Pasadena, sent me the Tom Jones version of Polk Salad Annie. Apparently this was a very popular song back in the late 60s, early 70s. So Tom Jones did it. Tom Jones. Greg in Pasadena has a recipe for muskrat. Go ahead, Mr. Greg.
Hey, Alan. How you doing?
I'm well.
Good, good. Yeah, my family's been cooking muskrat for over 100 years.
Okay. I bet it's tender,
really
I bet it's tender by now.
Exactly. You almost need to cook it for 100 years just to get the gamey taste out of it.
All right. How do you do it?
What you do is for every muskrat, you put 3 teaspoons of ground sage.
Okay.
And you basically start a boil with ground sage. You have to use, like, some type of meat with fat, like either a smoked pork chop or fat back or, like, something like a bacon or something like that. Because muskrat have very little fat. It won't taste right if you don't have fat in there.
Okay.
And you just salt it to your taste, add garlic, and cut 2 or 3 onions, and just put, like, you just want enough water, just add just enough chicken broth or water just so you just cover the bottom of whatever the meat that you put in there. You don't want to drown it.
Okay.
And you basically cook it on low. You can either put it in the oven at 325 for 4 hours, or you can put it on the stove in, like, a large pot that's flat. You don't want to, like, stack it up on top of each other or it breaks up.
Right, okay.
And then you just cook it for 3 or 4 hours, and right before you serve it, you want to just see if it needs a little bit of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to salt it before you cook it. You don't want to add too much salt, because what will happen, it'll take the flavor right out of the muskrat. It won't have taste.
Yeah, but I mean, with all that sage, don't you just kill it with that?
What's that?
I mean, with all that sage, don't you just kill the flavor with all that sage?
No, after 3 or 4 hours,
yeah,
the sage is pretty much, you hardly taste it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, the sage is, if you add the sage at the last minute, it'll be really green. But after 3 or 4 hours, what the sage does, it takes the aftertaste out of the muskrat. It takes the wild taste out of it.
Yeah, I really didn't know there was an aftertaste. I mean, I've heard of people browning them and then, you know, putting them in stock and baking them and that type of thing. But this is basically a muskrat boil is what you're telling me about.
Exactly. And it's basically you simmer it for a long time. And the thing is, I don't know if you've ever had muskrat that was cooked really fast. I mean, we've been eating a long time.
I have, and no, I don't like it. Right.
It has, like, a taste that, like, stays, like, it tastes good when you first eat it, but afterwards it's like, ugh, you know. So you have to, the sage, what it does, it's kind of like, I don't know, I guess you would say it adds, like, a smoky flavor after it's been cooked a long time.
Okay.
There's no green taste left.
I got it.
But it's really good. It's definitely worth a try that way.
All right.
And there's one other way you can do it, and that is just, like, put it in tomato sauce and cook it for, like, 4 hours.
Ooh, that'd be good.
And that will do good, too, but you have to like soak it in salt water first before you do that.
Oh, I soak just about everything in salt water. And of course, we had a cooking show on here a couple of weeks ago. We didn't talk about muskrat, but they were talking about soaking whatever game you have in milk, because the proteins in milk apparently break down the membranes in some of the wild game and make it more tender. So that might be another possibility. Greg, Greg, do you have access to email?
I sure do.
Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Send me an email for your muskrat recipe. I'd love to hear about it.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. Let's talk to Tim in Phoenix. Where'd Tim go? Well, how do I know that? How do I know that? Good morning, Tim. Tim, you with me? Okay, you talk to him. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. I'm going to tell you folks about Clyde Sports Shop. It's their Ready to Rock sale Friday, March 17th. That's this coming Friday through Sunday, March 26th. It's a 10-day sale. But here's what you want to do. Get your reels ready and fill them up with fresh line. Premium monofilament starts at just 1 cent per yard. It's all half price. So if it's normally 4 cents a yard, it's 2 cents. If it's 6 cents, it's 3 cents. Take your empty spools in and they will fill them for you, and you'll have fresh line ready to go for this fishing season. Doesn't include Power Pro, which is, of course, a braided line. So not only that, but you've got the pen reels on special. The Warfare 30 level wind reel, a favorite for trolling here, is $89.95. That's a great price. Trolling combos start at $89.95, but if you want one with that Warfare and an Andy 6-foot 20 to 50-pound rod and line, that's going to run you $139.95. What a great price. All the Shakespeare rods and reels are on sale. Same thing with Fluger rods and reels on sale. I'll never forget. I dropped my dad's President bait caster rod and reel combination overboard in Lake Somerset many moons ago when I was a kid. We were trolling and bloop, it went over and I never saw it again. That was a pretty combo too. Anyway, all Ugly Stick rods are on sale. St. Croix rods, take a look at those while you're there. All terminal tackle, all trolling reels, or all trolling baits, all the everything you need for rockfish, everything you need for panfish, trout, bass, you name it, they've got it at Clyde Sports Shop. All the rockfish trolling baits and lures are also on sale during the 10-day sale starting St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. At phone number 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. Website is clydesports.com. Fishing hotline 247-FISH. Gun owners, your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms is celebrated at the Associated Gun Clubs of Baltimore. It's where I shoot. Since 1944, the AGC on Marriottsville Road has brought shooters together in a safe and friendly environment to enjoy the various shooting sports and to help them become better shooters. Why not see what the AGC has to offer and then sign up? Over 3,000 shooters call the AGC home, and you can too. New members? Mention me and get a $10 discount on your range badge. For more information or to join an AGC club, call 410-296-3947. That's 410-296-3947 or visit associatedgunclubs.org. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck Blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blind, and the hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for your bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck Blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blinds website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500. Gun owners, hunters, and shooters, Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom, easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing, 240-347-4906, above precision, beyond accurate. This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. I'm just messing around. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one. They carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. I have one in my truck. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing, your hunting gear, your fishing gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection from the sun. Or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and even match your paint for your truck. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck, step bars, tonneau covers, of which I have one, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. And guess what? I carry magazines in my truck, so it's got to be a good one. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location. Pay attention here. They're redesigning the entire building, top to bottom. 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. That's just off Security Boulevard, right across the street from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. And Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. That phone number, 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199 for Linex. Ask for it by name.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Well, my baby, she's been watching all my hunting videos. She's been begging, she's been wanting to go. I said, you gotta get up early. And honey, you ain't gonna like it. Cause you can't pee and you gotta be quiet. But she was bound, she was determined. So I took her down and outfitted her from head to toe. And oh my gosh, my baby looks good in camouflage. She's all decked out. The sexiest tree I've ever seen. Can't concentrate when we're sitting in my stand. She's holding my gun and I'm holding her hand. And even when it's cold, she's still hot. My baby looks good in camouflage.
Mark in Edgemere. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. How's it going?
I'm all right. How about you?
Good. I was wondering, I hear so much talk about they're talking about opening the gun season early.
You heard a lot of talk about that, huh?
Yeah,
well, let me tell you what was floated out there. There was a senator and a delegate from the Eastern Shore. And one of them had a meeting with the Farm Bureau, an open meeting. Everybody was invited. And as a result of that meeting, two bills were introduced, one in the Senate, one in the House. One in the Senate talked about the Eastern, one in the Senate talked about Region B, which is the entire state except for 2.5 counties in extreme western Maryland. And what that bill wanted to do was to open the deer firearms season for a total of 8 weeks. The current season, which is the last week of November, first week of December. In addition, they wanted to add the first 2 weeks of November. And they wanted to add the entire month of January. Got it?
Yeah.
Do you see any conflict there?
Well, yeah, I mean, bow season, the prime time is early. That would be the first 2 weeks. So the bow hunters wouldn't have a chance with the gun hunters.
You mean you're talking about bow hunters in the first 2 weeks of November. What do we traditionally call that?
The rut.
Right, correct. And what happens during the rut?
Well, the does are being run by big bucks.
Right.
And that's your best chance for a bow hunter to score on a big buck.
Right.
So it would take them odds, and less bow hunters would want to hunt during them 2 weeks, my
right.
opinion.
Right. And what would happen to the bucks? What would happen to the breeding of the prime breeding males in the population?
They would be harvested.
They would be decimated.
Yes.
Because they're stupid that time of year. That's why it's easier to take them with a bow, and that's what bow hunters look forward to, is the rut. People take 2 weeks off the first 2 weeks of November just to hunt the rut. I mean, they do. The diehard bow hunters do, and I mean, I love getting out there in the rut. I love watching that activity. You open that up to firearms, brother, and all those bucks that you don't see during the daytime, any other time of the year, become stupid and they become vulnerable. And I will guarantee you that the harvest of those big bucks would explode that time of year, because those guys aren't going to shoot a doe during the heart of the rut.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
Well, let me tell you the history of these two bills. Okay.
Yep.
The bills were introduced on a Tuesday. The Maryland Bowhunter Society and the Maryland Hunting Coalition put out their social media alerts on Wednesday. I can't speak for the bowhunters. I think they reached, I'm not even going to say, they reached thousands of hunters. We reached 23,000 people with our post. Our post was shared 111 times. And in 24 hours, we had 23,000 people that had opened that and looked at that post on our Facebook page. Well, the phones began to ring in the office of the senator and in the office of the delegate. We didn't call to anybody to action, but people who posted on our Facebook page did. Gave out the phone numbers and that type of thing. The phones began to ring. They were inundated. The emails began to pour in. That was Wednesday. Thursday, February 9th, was our Blaze and Camo Day in Annapolis, the Hunters Rally in Annapolis. We were there on Lawyer's Mall with our blaze orange hats on, our camo gear. And we stationed on Lawyer's Mall because that's the most exposure as the lawmakers go from building to building. And the lawmakers love it, the Maryland Hunting Coalition. They would come over and they'd ask, you know, we'd give out orange hats, we'd give them to lawmakers, we'd give them to the people that show up. They'd come over and ask us for their hats, engage for a little bit, tell us what they're doing for the hunters in their district and that type of thing. And we got to meet a lot of lawmakers. DNR Secretary Mark Belton came down for a few minutes. He was there. He was on his way to a cabinet meeting. Wildlife Director Paul Pedito showed up for the whole 2 hours. We had representatives from the Natural Resources Police and the Canine Division. We had the governor come down and talk to us for about 10 minutes. He was going to a cabinet meeting. He came out of the residence. He walked over to us. He looked at me and he says, "Give me my orange hat." And we talked to the governor. Well, the delegate that put the bill in came by. And when I see my lobbyist with his arm around a lawmaker, the lawmaker's in trouble. So I watched that unfold. Thursday evening, we heard that both bills were going to be pulled. By Friday, those bills were gone. They were both withdrawn. They're not under consideration. There'll be no expansion of the deer firearm season in this General Assembly in this period and for this upcoming year. So, you know, we took care of that.
Well, that is a great work your organization does. And,
well,
you know, I mean, more people really need to get involved, including myself.
Right.
I can't say enough for what you guys do. I just wish I would get involved more. And it's just, I got too much on my plate right now, but
yep.
I would like to come to the banquet.
Come on up. Go online. Get your tickets. You know, it's very simple to do. Just go to mdhuntingcoalition.org. You'll see the post there for the benefit. You click on the link, it takes you right there. It shows you the poster. It shows you how to get your tickets. We have a little store online for sponsors, for early bird raffle tickets, for banquet tickets and that type of thing. It's a great time. We're filling up fast in the next week or so. We anticipate by this time next week, we'll probably be sold out. So
okay.
Love to have you there, Mark.
I sure will. Do you have my email? I don't know if you had it.
I might. I'll have to look. Do you get? Why don't you just sign up online? You can sign up online, then you'll get the newsletter right before the benefit.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you coming to our banquet on the 30th of April for the No Person Left Behind?
Possibly.
Okay.
I just got that notice yesterday. I didn't know when it was.
Yeah, I'm helping Mark out this year.
Right.
I hope it works out, and I'll shoot you an email.
Yeah, Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com.
Okay, thank you, Alan, and thanks for all the work you do.
All right, Mark. Thanks, buddy.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye. There he goes. Ross in Pasadena. Good morning, Ross. How are you?
Pretty good. Good, Alan. Since I heard that only less than 1% of all the people that listen to radio shows call in, I thought I'd call in.
Good.
I had one question. Is shad roe season running yet? I know they're not that prevalent anymore, the roe from the shad, but do you know anything about when it would start and conclude?
Well, there is no recreational shad fishing. I mean, you can catch them here in Maryland, but you can't keep them. But the answer to your question is the commercial shad fishermen that are still operating –
right.
Do supply boned shad and supply shad roe
right.
to your local seafood stores. And, yes, that is available. That shad harvest typically takes place before the annual shad run, which is just beginning. I don't know if the warm weather triggered any of that or if it's all based on photo period at this point. I mean,
yeah.
This cold weather could have pushed fish back out into the deeper water. But you can get shad roe. And you can get bone shad at your local seafood dealer, but it's a commercial product. It's not done recreationally.
Right. I usually pick them up at Wegmans, and I just wanted to know when would be a good time to.
Yeah, I mean, I'd check with them. I know that one of the local seafood places in Easton carries it, and our buddy from Easton, Dale from Easton, was telling me he's had it. He's had bone shad and shad roe both this year. So
yeah. I also know that, and I'm sure you know this too, but maybe your listeners don't. A more appetizing word for muskrats would be marsh rabbits.
What's that again?
A more appetizing word for muskrats.
Oh, marsh rabbits.
They call them marsh rabbits. They sound a little more.
Yeah, exactly.
And my last comment is my wife is in love with your music. Where do you pick all your country music up?
No, we get some of it. Some of it came in over the transom from the people like the Michael Waddell songs, like My Baby Looks Good in Camouflage and Granddaddy's Gun and a couple of those. And then we've got some Duck Commander stuff in there that was sent to us by one of the guys that used to work with Duck Commander. And, you know, and then general stuff, you know, just off the what you can pull it off the web. So,
well, you certainly seem to pick the best that's possible to pick up, because she's a musician, but she's not into country, but she comments on your music all the time.
Well, apparently we had some. I mentioned that our good friend Chuck, who calls in from time to time, was in New Orleans and sent me a picture of a beautiful seafood dinner down there, and then that opened up a whole Louisiana theme for the first hour with Amos uh-huh. Moses and Troy from Swamp People, and what else? Oh, Poke Salad Inn. So it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, Ross, I appreciate the call, buddy.
No problem.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Okay, this came from a listener. I don't know how true it is or not, but the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife sends a letter to a home and landowner asking for permission to access a creek on his property to document the decline in a certain species of unheard-of frogs. And then the property owner responds. So here's the letter. Dear landowner, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife staff will be conducting for foothill yellow-legged frogs and other amphibians over the next few months. As part of this research, we'd like to survey the creek on your property. I'm writing this letter to request your permission to access your property. Recent research indicates that the foothill yellow-legged frogs have declined significantly in recent years and are no longer found at half their historic sites. Your cooperation will be greatly appreciated and will help contribute to the conservation of this important species. Please fill out the attached postage-paid postcard and let us know if you're willing to lease your property or not. If you have concerns about this project, give us a call. We'd love to talk about our research. And there on it goes. And the response from the landowner: thank you for your inquiry regarding accessing my property to survey the yellow-legged frog. We may be able to help you out with this matter. We have divided our 2.26 acres into 75 equal survey units with a draw tag for each unit. Application fees are only $8 per unit after you purchase a frog survey license, $120 resident, $180 non-resident. You also need to obtain a frog habitat parking permit of $10 for each vehicle. You also need an invasive species stamp, $15 for the first vehicle, and $5 for each additional vehicle. You want to register at the check station to have your vehicle inspected for non-native plant life prior to entering our property. There's also a daily use fee of $5 per vehicle. If you're successful in the draw, you'll be notified 2 weeks in advance so you can make necessary plans and purchase your creek habitat stamp, $18 for resident and $140 for non-resident. Survey units open between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m., but you cannot commence survey until 9 a.m. and must cease all survey activity by 1 p.m. Survey gear can only include, and it goes on. Please let us know if we can be of assistance to you. Otherwise, we decline your access to our property, but appreciate your inquiry. good stuff. Good stuff out there online. Let's talk to Steve in Joppa. Good morning, Steve. Thank you, Tim, for that letter, by the way.
Hey, good morning. Yeah. When I was growing up, we've killed rabbits east of Dover in the marsh.
Oh.
And those rabbits had an additional little pink pad off of each of their feet.
Marsh rabbit, yeah. Swamp rabbit, mm-hmm.
They were little pets the size of a dime.
Yeah. Interesting stuff, isn't it?
Yep.
East of Dover, huh?
Yeah, along Route 9,
mm-hmm.
Lipstick, that area.
A little larger than your typical rabbit?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
How they, I guess, adapted to their environment like that.
Indeed. We used to hunt. Rabbit hunting was my passion when I was young. We had deer and we had pheasants and we had grouse and we had quail and that type of thing, but rabbit was my deal. And I had no dogs. you know, no dog, just me stomping on brush piles and that type of thing. And we go out during the day and we work on the work on all the fields. But I learned a lot about rabbit hunting. I had on my own experience of just being out there all the time, and then I had a mentor. And let's see, what was his name? I'm trying to think of his name. Well, I'll think of it here soon enough. Earl was his name. Earl was the recreation director for my dad, and Earl was a rabbit hunter, originally from Washington State. Earl carried a double-barrel 12-gauge shotgun with no trigger guard. I never went in front of Earl because I saw his shotgun get caught on a button on his coat and watched his shotgun jump out of his hand one day. So I decided it wasn't a good idea to walk in front of Earl. But Earl was a consummate rabbit hunter. We hunted in the woods. We hunted in hollow, where they had logged. We hunted in hollow logs, habitat. We hunted in the swamps. And this one story I'll tell real quick. I'm watching Earl down in the swamp. The swamp was ice-covered, snow on the ground, little hummocks of grass, and enough snow that you could see the rabbit tracks. So I saw Earl get on a rabbit track. And he walked the track up to this little grass hummock, and he walked all the way around the hummock. And what he was looking for was the tracks going out. There were none. So Earl backed off about 6 feet. He took the forearm off his shotgun. Well, he broke his shotgun. He took the shells out. He took the forearm off. Then he took the barrels off of his shotgun. And I thought, what in the world are you doing? Earl snuck up on that grass hummock and whacked that rabbit with his shotgun barrels and came out holding that rabbit up by his legs. He never fired a shot. I loved it. One of my favorite stories. I'm sorry, I interrupted you, Steve. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. It's your show. Now, my mentor was my Uncle Alan, who always took my brother and I hunting. And I have seen him catch rabbits with his bare hand because we always hunt at railroad tracks. And out of piles of railroad ties, I've seen him reach in and grab a rabbit. You know, reach in, grab it in the rear with one hand, and when it jumped up, grab it, you know, with his other hand out of the air. I've seen that. It's amazing. But speaking of, they always use double barrel 20s and double barrel 12s.
Yep.
And when we inherited all of his guns, most of those guns, if you would turn the gun over, there would be a 4 or 5 inch spot on the stock where they had put their cigarettes out. Now, you and I wouldn't dream of doing that to our guns now, but they looked at them like a hammer or a shovel or, you know, just a tool.
It was a tool, you're right. That's crazy.
And they would put, you know, they would wipe their cigarettes until they were out on the stock of their gun. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. That's a good story, though.
Better than throwing a, you know, cigarette butt down in the woods.
I never caught one rabbit. I was hunting alongside a creek, and there were a lot of fallen reeds and brush and that type of thing along the side of the creek, and I stepped on a rabbit and pinned it under this fallen stuff, you know. That's the only one I ever caught. We were hunting in a plowed field one day with the, you know, when they used to plow and the furrows would roll over and the cover crop, the grass was now on the inside of the roll. We would walk a plowed field in the snow and watch on those furrows for little round holes where the rabbits were breathing and the steam was coming up. Okay. And we saw one in one of these holes, and the guy took a stick, and this is years ago, you know, took a stick and poked that rabbit, and the rabbit came out, and he grabbed it on the way out. So, yeah, that's they're fun to hunt, I can tell you. And they're everywhere. Their habitat is anything and everything. So, yeah. All right, Steve, thanks.
Good work. Thanks,
all right, buddy. Thanks. See you. All right, time for me to tell you about our friends at Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex for Linex spray-on bedliners. Be sure to ask for them by name. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one. They carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water with, that means no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing supplies, your hunting gear, your crab traps, your outboard motor, that won't hurt your truck bed. They won't scratch it or anything. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and Paint Match. And Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck, step bars and tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. I have the little fender liners, you know, on the back, keep the mud out of the the under panel. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provides the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, just like I did with a Bay Linex bed liner and a tonneau cover and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. 789-0199. In Catonsville, Linex new location is 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard. You go out rolling, turn left on Security, turn left on Windsor Mill, or come up rolling, turn right on Security, turn left on Windsor Mill. He's right there on the right. First left, and the first building on the right, directly across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800, 410-455-0800 for Linex spray-on bed liners. Attention, gun owners, hunters, and shooters. Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom. Easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing. 240-347-4906. Above precision, beyond accurate. And while you're at Hafer's Gunsmithing, see a redneck blind on display. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck Blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blinds, and hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck Blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blinds website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Talk Radio 680 WCPN.
I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
All right, we're back. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Hopefully we have a couple more callers before the end of the day. We'll be more than glad to speak with you about anything you want to talk about, fishing or hunting related. The news just came out this week that the trophy striped bass season will open on April 15th. That's a Saturday, 5 a.m. in the morning. Runs till midnight, May 15th. And the trophy size limit this year is 35 inches. 35 inches. The summer season kicks off. Summer and fall season kicks off on May 16th, of course. And there's two fish limit of 20 inches, just like last year. I know the charter boat guys were hoping for a reduction in that limit back to 18 inches. I guess there were a lot of short fish, as there always are, caught last year, but it didn't happen. So they're going to keep it to conserve the species at 20 inches. And, you know, that's one thing about Maryland, as far as our Department of Natural Resources, they always err on the side of sustainability. If there's any, you know, mistake to be made, they're not going to over-harvest anything. We did that. We used to do that. Rockfish, Canada geese, we did it with before. We don't ever want to do it again. And that's part of the reason that the Maryland Hunting Coalition make some of the arguments that it does. Especially, you heard earlier from Mark about that that season proposal in the General Assembly to extend the deer season to 8 weeks long, the deer firearm season to 8 weeks, including the first 2 weeks of November and the entire month of January. Number one, imagine the conflict in January between, especially on the Eastern Shore, goose hunters out in the goose pit. Duck hunters in the duck blind, and then you've got guys in blaze orange out there in the fields, and the deer running across the edge of the field, and somebody shooting a shotgun or a rifle at a deer, and I just can't imagine it. I can't imagine that the waterfowlers would stand for it. That bill was put in ill-advisedly, in my opinion, but it was put in, and it had to be killed. It had to be stopped. So, as far as sustainability of the deer herd, you start shooting your breeding bucks the first 2 weeks of November with anything other than archery tackle, that's rough. That's rough. You got to have these deer in November, first 2 weeks of November, when they're chasing does, they're dumb. I mean, they're just dumb. I've watched bucks chase does, and, they just take them round and round and round and round and round, and they can't get them to stop. And I watched two bucks run a doe in Baltimore County one year for an hour. And they'd run and they'd run and they'd push this poor doe. And, she's coming by me with her tongue hanging out, and the bucks are coming by and they're just not stopping. It's bow season. I'm not getting shot. But you put a shotgun in my hands or a rifle, dead deer every time. And I will tell you, there are not enough fellas out there who would discriminate enough to take that doe as opposed to that buck. And those breeding age bucks would be gone. Gone if you opened up the deer firearm season to the peak of the rut. And I mean, that deer population would crash. In 5 years, we wouldn't have 100,000 deer in this state. Trust me about that. So that's the way it goes. Let's talk to Paul in Pasadena. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Top of the morning to you, Alan.
How are you? What's up?
I'm fine. I was up in the attic yesterday, as a matter of fact, looking through some stuff of my dad's. He has some old lures, and I ran across a casting reel. It's made in Sweden. It's called a Record 1600.
Wow,
anything
cool.
About that?
No, I don't. No, I don't. But why don't you send me an email, Paul? I'd love to talk to you about all that stuff.
Okay, we'll do that, Alan.
Yeah, it's ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Just put the tackle or dad's tackle or old tackle or something in the subject line, and I'll give you a call.
Okay, great.
I love it. I'll do some research on it. What's it called? A record?
A record. It has a fish on it.
Hmm.
A record fish. It's a Swedish, made in Sweden.
And it's a casting reel.
Mm-hmm. And it has green ivory or bone or whatever.
What do you suspect the age is?
Probably around 45.
1945? Yeah. Oh, okay. So it was made back in the 60s, you think?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, I'd love to see it. And if you want to include a picture, please do. ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. I'll do some research and get back to you.
I'll have my niece do that because I'm kind of a dinosaur when it comes
to Well, make sure your phone number's on there, Paul.
All right, Alan. Thank you very much.
Okay, buddy. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back after this.
Gun owners, nearby the Associated Gun Clubs of Baltimore has a full-service facility and gun ranges that offer all you need to enjoy your firearms and to become a better shooter. The AGC on Marriottsville Road has a 50-yard handgun range, 100 and 200-yard multi-purpose ranges, a trap range, and much more. It's where I shoot. No matter what you shoot, from rimfire to muzzleloader to hunting rifles and modern sporting rifles, the AGC offers it all. Over 3,000 shooters call the AGC home, and you can too. New members, mention me and get a $10 discount on your range badge. For more information or to join an AGC club, call 410-296-3947. That's 410-296-3947, or visit associatedgunclubs.org.
Yeah.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Yeah, good. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. 410 WCBM 680. We may have time for a very short call. You want to just do that, 410-922-6680. Or we may not. Who knows? Anyway, listen, I'll tell you one more time about our Maryland Hunting Coalition benefit coming up March 25th. It's in Westminster. The website is mdhuntingcoalition.org. You've heard a little bit on this show about some of the work we've done. We're involved in a lot of things. A lot of things in the General Assembly are facing hunters. We don't necessarily weigh in on the local bills like Wicomico County Sunday Hunting or Kent County Sunday Hunting. We're standing by to assist anybody in those any county, anywhere, on any issue. But we do weigh in on the statewide issues more so than the local issues. Local issues are for local governments, your county council, your county delegation, your local organization in your county. You need to work if you want advancements in your hunting privileges in like Sunday hunting in your county. You in your county needs to step up and get with the people who are in charge. And it starts with the local.